Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkins Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the Score.
One of our favorite baseball people also said something really dumb.
If you walk into the clubhouse and you're the Lakers and you don't have LeBron James playing or Michael Jordan or Muhammad Ali, this is the type of name that Clayton Kershaw is. He's the game's biggest star.
Wait, what?
Will you hear that team again that A-Rod put together?
You're the Lakers, and you don't have LeBron James playing.
I want my damn respect, too.
Or Michael Jordan.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
Or Muhammad Ali.
I am the greatest.
It was weird enough when he pulled Michael Jordan out of the... Muhammad Ali is a boxer, man. Where'd he even pull Muhammad Ali from? That's not even a team sport, dude.
They won their games by an average margin of 40-plus points. You get the feeling you're attending an exhibition, a concert.
I'm so confused by Alex Rodriguez.
Nothing about it makes sense other than, now if you would have said that quote was said by an analyst during a sporting event, ooh, A-Rod or Bill Walton, I don't know.
How do the birds know when to fly south? How do they know where to go?
How about you, Poppy?
Just the weirdest dude ever.
I don't get it. He has to have pictures of somebody.
LeBron James.
Not four, not five, not six.
Michael Jordan.
The ceiling is the roof.
Or Muhammad Ali.
I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
It became a team, and that team just stomped on everybody.
This never happened in sports.
This group may well be the greatest team ever assembled in the history of team sports.
This team is on fuego.
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkins Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio!
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out with the Danny Parkins Show. Rami Makhlouf in today and tomorrow. Paul Charchian joins us at 3 o'clock. Dave Wannstedt for the 5 o'clock hour, where the hour is brought to you by Four Winds Casino. You know, hearing the reimagining by Chris Tannehill there, Rami, in the open of A-Rod v. Bill Walton and, like, the weirdness that is A-Rod, I think what it is Bill Walton is maybe the most comfortable analyst I've ever heard of being himself.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes him funny.
He maybe gets too comfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, he errs on the side of being himself. And so it's great. Like, that is Bill Walton, for better or worse. Whereas A-Rod, I've always kind of compared him to, like, the child star. He just, like, too famous, too good looking, too much money, too early in life that, like, no one has treated him normal since he was, like, 12 years old.
He doesn't know how to be a person.
Exactly.
I hate you.
So, like, that's where the humor differs. Like, A-Rod's is purely unintentional because he thinks he's being normal, whereas Walton's is unintentional, but he actually is being his normal self. That's the difference between the two.
I could listen to Bill Walton all day. I can't listen to A-Rod for 5 minutes. Like, I'm not the guy who's like, I can't listen to the national call. I'm just going to turn down my TV and turn up my radio. I'm never that guy. Like, I appreciate a national perspective. Somebody from the outside looking in give you a little bit of a different perspective on the whole thing. But A-Rod, I have to turn it off. When A-Rod is doing Cubs games or Sox games, I have to turn it off and just turn on the radio call or listen to something else while the game is being played.
So I got to be honest with you. That's never happened to me.
Really?
Yeah, I love radio and I love broadcasters, and you could name the D-list broadcaster for the Mac, and I have an opinion on whether or not they're good or bad. Like, I am just a huge broadcast nerd, but I could remove the word broadcast there and I'd probably be accurate too. But I just, it never bothers me to the point. And good or bad, by the way, like, Romo to me is the best thing going. The ratings for his games are not higher because Tony Romo's doing it, right? Like, Al Michaels doesn't drive ratings for Sunday Night Football. It's just the quality of the game. So as much as I love it, it's never once made me turn it off.
I think A-Rod is the only guy who's ever made me turn it off. I think he's the one. I think he's that dude. I'm pretty sure. I can't think of another instance.
What a claim to fame. he annoys
I'm really enjoying
so
this.
that he makes you turn it off. But do you remember the thing with A-Rod that's weirdest to me is when he did and does the studio work for Fox, but when it was him and Frank Thomas and Pete Rose with Kevin Burkhart, and they did like a 6-7 minute segment on hitting, and it was Pete Rose explaining like where you stand in the box, like forward, back, inside, outside.
Yeah.
And then like Big Hurt and A-Rod were kind of commenting around it. Like, damn, this is some of the best baseball television analysis I've ever seen. Like he's good in a studio. He's awful in a game. And I don't know anyone else who is like so bad at one thing and so good at another.
That's exactly how I can't stand the dude just because of the whole steroid thing and the way he handled that after he got caught. But yeah, when he's in the studio, I think he's pretty damn good. And especially when he's that piece that he did with Chris Bryant, where those two just talked hitting for 5 or 6 minutes. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I did, even though it was A-Rod, thoroughly enjoyed that. But when that dude is in the booth, I just can't take it, man. I can't. It's just senseless. It makes me want to bash my head up against a wall.
So I feel like you've been kind of holding back a little bit on the you hate cheaters.
I do. I don't hate the cheaters as much as I do the people who defend the cheaters or just want to brush it off as, well, everybody does this. Well, yeah, people have been cheating since the beginning of time in everything, not just in sports, but since the beginning of time, we try to catch them and we try to punish them instead of rewarding them or just going, ah, whatever, they got caught, but that guy's cool. Let's just let it go. I'm not saying that we need to, like, cancel people who cheated and they should never get a chance again and they should just be castigated from society. But we get over it and get past these things way too quick in 2020 when somebody or a team like the Astros cheats an entire sport and there's not one suspension handed down to the players who were the ones doing the cheating. Like that really irked me.
Yeah, I get that. I do. I thought that There's nuance to each of these individual stories, right?
Sure. So
like the Astros thing, why I felt like it would be tough to punish the players individually was it all of them? Was it some of them? Like if you banned them from postseason play, for example, well, they had guys who signed with the team, right?
Sure.
Who were not there when they cheated. And so then the free agents who have already signed with the team, moved their family, now they can't play in the playoffs for transgressions that happened before them. It's the same thing with, like, taking down banners in the NCAA tournament or, postseason bans. I'm like, well, this doesn't seem fair. Like, a freshman who enrolls on a team now has to have they can't play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, but nothing the NCAA makes sense. So I'm not looking for fairness or sense from the NCAA. And I get what you're saying.
My religion is logic and like consistency.
Right.
And so like to me, if I can't figure out a way to do it where the punishment is fair for the people who actually created the offense, I ultimately just kind of give
not
up
just
like,
a
yeah, the world keeps spinning.
Why not just a suspension for the guys who you know were involved, who were caught red-handed being involved in this cheating scandal? The rest of the Astros, the guys who have signed since, go ahead, go play, compete, and do the best you can. But the guys who we know were involved with this thing and were the architects of this thing, why not suspend them each individually if you don't want to do what you're saying and put down a postseason ban?
But, like, did you ever see that list of names?
Yeah.
Was there ever like this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy did it?
No, I didn't.
This guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy did not do it. I never saw that.
I didn't see that list because Rob Manfred covered the whole thing up and was in on the cover up from the jump. That's why we never saw that. But do I think that Major League Baseball doesn't know that? Absolutely not. I think Major League Baseball knows a hell of a lot more about not just the Astros, probably more so when it comes to the Red Sox, because I didn't buy any of that story when they put out that investigation that this was some rogue video technician who put together the whole cheating scandal after Alex Cora, who was like the kingpin of this thing in Houston, came over and was the manager. He had nothing to do with it. Well, he didn't have much to do with it. It was this rogue video operator in Boston who put this whole thing together. That was the biggest cover up of this whole scandal, I think, that we have seen or not seen since this whole story broke.
I think my tinfoil hat theory on it, which I don't really think is that conspiracy theory laden, is that I think it was, all right, we're punishing you, but you better shut up and take it.
Yeah.
Because it, and so like we can't punish you too hard, because if we go too hard at you, they'll come out and say, wait a minute, are you actually going to pretend like we're the only team that was doing some of this? You know, like I'm not convinced that the Cubs weren't doing it. I'm not convinced that the White Sox weren't doing it. I'm not convinced that the Pirates, or the worst team in baseball, wasn't doing it, and they just did it with lesser talented players. Like, I believe that when you put in a live feed of HD cameras into the dugout or the hallway off the dugout, that basically what happened was, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And so a lot of people were taking advantage of that technology and those rules, and Major League Baseball didn't want to open up Pandora's box. Like, it was much better for baseball to say, this was an Astros problem, this was a Red Sox problem, these were isolated incidents, as opposed to the entirety integrity of the game.
Yeah, you and I are exactly on the same page. Rob Manfred wanted this story to go away as quickly as possible, and the best way for him to do that was to give a slap on the wrist to the Astros and let all those faces of that franchise come back and play and make people forget what they did, and to not even really put out anything when it comes to the Boston Red Sox, so that people, like you said, Danny, stop asking questions about, well, who else might be doing this? The sooner this story went away for Rob Manfred and baseball, the better. And I think that was his number one objective in the way that he handled it, rather than rooting out the cheating and punishing the guys who were doing it. He was more worried about the PR nightmare than he was about whatever damage was done to the competitive playing field or the level of the playing field. He didn't care about that. He cared about how he and Major League Baseball looked at the end of this thing.
Asking for a piece of metal back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree that that's what to me, the idea of A-Rod, right, as a cheater. To me, the Hall of Fame, if you're going to talk about steroids and cheating, there was everybody allowed it to happen. It wasn't explicitly against the rules for a period of time. And the Hall of Fame is a museum. So put them in the Hall of Fame and put a little thing on their placard that says they accomplished these things during the steroids era. Or
put them in the Hall of Fame! Put them in the Hall!
Thank you, Chuck. Or say, this guy was linked to Balco. Or, you know, like whatever like little thing you want to demark on their plaque. But like Barry Bonds isn't in Cooperstown?
I don't think he should be. And here's why. You said it's a museum. And to some degree, you're right. But, dude, when we have a...
Have you been?
No, I haven't.
It's 100% a museum.
I haven't. No, you're right. The actual structure itself is a museum. But when we hold a ceremony for you and make a statue of you and celebrate you, that's a little bit more than a museum. Like, to me, celebrating Barry Bonds at this point would be like looking back at an ex who the whole time you were together, they were cheating on you. And now 20 years later, you look back, you're like, man, remember when we were real happy and I thought you were real great, but that was all a lie? Let's build a statue to commemorate that. That doesn't make any sense to me, man. Why are we celebrating these guys? You want to commemorate them and their accomplishments and like you would in a museum, put their plaque up on a wall or their accomplishments, their achievements on a wall? Okay, but I'm not giving you a podium and a stage and making a bronze bust out of you in some celebration for your fraudulent accomplishments. Your 100% fraudulent accomplishments, dude. I'm not here for that.
But it's not 100% fraudulent.
Okay.
Right? Because Bonds did great things in baseball before he had steroids, and then plenty of guys took steroids and weren't Hall of Famers.
Sure.
So he was the best player who also got the best enhancement, which made him basically Iron Man.
Yeah.
So my thing was always like, all right, so if random relief pitcher X was doing it, it didn't make him a Hall of Famer. The drugs didn't make him a Hall of Famer. It just made his numbers insane. So, like, to me, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, Clemens, these are some of the greatest players of all time. To not have them in, A-Rod, to not have them in, it's just a gap in the era of the sport. Like, it's an incomplete history of the sport to not have them in. And, oh yeah, by the way, there are already guys in the Hall of Fame who have done steroids.
I feel like we're having a different debate about statues. Like, we can We can remember history without building statues and celebrating the worst people in history. Like that, haven't we been having this discussion, Danny, outside the sports world that we don't need statues and celebrations of people? We don't need to do that. That doesn't make sense. We can mark history and not forget it without having celebrations of these guys. And I don't know how much of Barry Bonds' accomplishments were real. I don't know how much of Roger Clemens' accomplishments were real. And I don't know how much of Sammy Sosa's accomplishments were real. And guess whose fault it is that I have my doubts? Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, and Roger Clemens. It's their fault I have those doubts of what kind of player they really were, what kind of career they would have been able to put together if not for PEDs. So I don't feel the least bit guilty about jumping to some conclusions or not giving them the benefit of the doubt. I've forgiven as a human being. I've moved on. I don't wish bad things on these people because ultimately, we've said this before, Danny, none of this matters. Sports don't matter. Okay? But I don't want to go back and celebrate them either. That just doesn't make sense to me at all. And putting somebody in the Hall of Fame, and especially the ceremony that we do to put somebody in the Hall of Fame, is a celebration. It is the epitome, the definition of celebrating an individual to give them a podium, to give them a platform and a stage and make a statue of them. If that's not a celebration of a person, I don't know what is.
Well, no, of course, putting them in the Hall of Fame is, of course, honoring them. I mean, the Giants already have a statue out there for Barry Bonds and, like, their version of Monument Park. So, like, they've already chosen to do that. Okay, so I've got two more for you. I'm just, like, kind of testing to see if you are, like, truly an absolutist on these things. So, to me, Sammy Sosa made me a Cubs fan. Like, the summer of 98, I was a Cubs fan before that, but I was 12 years old in 1998. That's, like, the peak of your sports fandom.
Sure.
That home run chase was the coolest thing ever. I obviously didn't know anything about it, but Sammy Sosa sprinting out to right field, blowing the kisses, doing the hop, hitting the ball on the wavelength, the whole thing, it made me a lifelong Cubs fan, and Sammy, along with Kerry Wood, were like my favorite Cubs players ever. So to me, bringing him back to Wrigley Field is an obvious thing, but in your line that you are honoring him.
Yeah,
you would be celebrating him.
I don't,
so you're good with Tom Ricketts' stance of
absolutely. I don't agree with the Ricketts on a lot, but that's one thing that I 100% have their back on, that we should not be bringing Sammy Sosa back to celebrate. And I love that home run chase too, Danny. I have a lot of great memories around that. There's one memory that I will not let Sammy Sosa tarnish, even though he was directly involved in it. I was at the first game at Wrigley Field after 9/11. And when he hit that home run, and I get goosebumps every time I think about it, I'm getting them right now, and pulls that American flag out of his pocket and starts running around the bases with holding up the number one, America's number one. As a son of immigrants, watching an immigrant come to America and reach those heights and celebrate the country as he rounds the bases after that tragedy, that's one of my greatest sports memories ever, and I won't let him take that away from me or tarnish it. But the rest of that home run chase, I look back at it and I'm like, man, I was fooled. Like the rest of you, I was fooled. I was duped. Again, it's like looking back.
But he hit that home run on steroids.
Yes, he did. He did. But this is about America.
Okay.
That home run is about America, right?
All right. So last one here. Is Bill Belichick a Hall of Famer?
I have my doubts about that guy, too. I think there's a little bit more gray area there, but I have my doubts about that dude, too. I don't know that we've gotten the full story there either. We know a few of the things Bill Belichick has done, but if he'd go to those lengths that we know of, I have to assume that he's probably gone to greater lengths that we don't know of, do we? And again, for me to jump to those conclusions, make those assumptions, and not give him the benefit of the doubt is not my fault. When you're a repeat offender, I'm going to have my doubts about you and your character.
Oh, I. By the way, like, I'm not even talking about things we don't know. I'm saying he has been linked to spying on sidelines, mm-hmm. deflating footballs. You know what I mean? Like, there's been enough thing. There's enough things about and around the Patriots to suggest that wherever the line is, he likes to go up to the line and then overstep the line. Like, he colors
and then send
outside.
A video guy past the line to get a good view of everything that's going on across the line.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So, yeah. But he's undeniably the best coach in the last 50 years of football.
I mean, you look at Bill Belichick and how many things he has innovated and still to this day does differently than any other NFL head coach. And yeah, I mean, you have to appreciate the process that the guy goes through. And like I said, those innovations and the way that he coaches his teams in the game a little bit differently than anybody else, that alone you can look at and say that sets him apart from most coaches in his era. But do those championships, do those Super Bowl rings that he has have a little bit of tarnish on them for me? Yeah, they do, a little bit. That guy, you might have found my gray area when it comes to cheating. Those other guys who you named off and listed, I want nothing to do with those guys. Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, is sort of in that gray area where I go, I know that guy did some stuff, but he's probably still pretty damn great. And I don't know.
Specialty, by the way.
Finding the gray
holes
area.
Finding gray area, finding logical inconsistencies. Like, I'm like, I'll break it down.
But because Bill Belichick does things differently than anybody else. What did Barry Bonds do differently than anybody else? He swung a bat and he was really good at it. Sammy Sosa swung a bat and he was really good at it. Roger Clemens threw a ball and he was really good at it. But you don't look at those guys and go, man, that guy changed the way that thing was done. Bill Belichick has changed the way coaches coach football teams, and not just the cheating, the other stuff too.
Oh, I mean, I think we could do a Bonds argument there in terms of power-speed combination. But we're – okay. It's interesting, though. You are an absolutist when it comes to cheating, and most people our age are not. I'm like, it was entertaining. None of this matters. They entertained me. They saved baseball. Baseball allowed it to happen. It wasn't against the rules. Put them in, and let's honor them for the era that it was,
like I
while marking – what it was and what we now know about it.
You want to document history? You want to put it in a book? You want to put it in a museum? Be my guest. It happened, and I'm not here to pretend that it didn't happen. Just the whole ceremony and celebration of these guys is what I have a problem with. I'm not here to celebrate people who pulled the wool over my eyes, who duped me, who were frauds, who made me look like an ass.
Have you ever been cheated on?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nor have I cheated. How about that?
All right. That
don't be terrible,
me.
Guys. Don't be bad people.
All right, I like it.
Thank
we
you.
Actually need the listeners' help to make the Dave Wannstedt segments even better. We're going to tell you how you can help us with that coming up, and then Paul Charchian at 3.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the score.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Is that the way you say it? That's a bingo?
You just say bingo. Bingo! How fun!
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. We love bingo. Do we? I don't even know. That's just something that I say. But Dave Wannstedt, Rami Makhlouf, hangs out with this show on Thursdays from like 5 to 5:40.
That's a nice chunk of time that the coach has given you.
It's great. And before COVID, he was in studio.
Oh.
He will sing for us around the holidays.
I've heard.
He'll sing Christmas songs. He's the greatest. He gambles with me. He talks trash. Yeah, I owe
like
him
real
a bottle,
money.
Nice bottles of wine.
Okay.
His currency is Cabernet, basically.
Glass of iced tea. Okay, how's that? That's TV talk, you know?
Yeah, and coach, when I'm having a bourbon on the radio, I just call it iced tea.
He tells some of the same stories. He's going to mention Jimmy Johnson. He's going to mention Naples. He's going to call you coach. You and I are not coaches, but he's going to call us coach. And it's the greatest feeling in the world when he calls you coach. So we had the idea we should let the audience kind of play along to like an audio game of bingo. But instead of B-I-N-G-O, just W-A-N-N-Y. We'll play a game of Wani.
I like it.
Yeah, and we basically are like 80% of the way through the Wani bingo board, but we want to share it on social media before 5 o'clock. We obviously will not tell Coach Wannstedt that we're doing this, and we're hoping to get some bingos. But so what we need is from the texters at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet at the Parkin Show on Twitter. we need some more terms. Shane, what do we have so far for Wani Bingo, if you could let people know what we have?
Yeah, so we need to fill four boxes. This is what we have so far. This is going to be like Bernstein reading off lists. Dolphins, Boy Wonder, and I can't do a Wani dialect, so I'm not going to do it. Pitt, Shady McCoy, calls a guy Coach. You know
what
I mean?
Are you kidding me? Coach, please.
You know what I mean? Fox, Chucky Pagano, Tony Wise, Ice-T, down in Naples, Andy yeah. Heck, and then a big picture of his mustache is the free space. Talks about his time on Chicago Fire on the Chicago Fire TV show. Talks about singing Christmas music. Jimmy, Clemson, Hurricanes, Iron City Light, Stones, and are you kidding me? That was okay.
We talking Stones. We done. You know what I mean.
So we need four more.
We need four more. 312-644-6767. We need, because I mean, some of the, I mean,
Rami had a phenomenal
well
one, by the way. Rami came in today after the phone call. He had a phenomenal one.
My greatest memory of Dave Wanstead when he was coaching was whenever somebody had an injury, he would just say they had a body part. He'd be like, they got a knee.
Yes.
That
of
guy's got a shoulder. Like that was that's what I remember of Wani as a head coach, is he would just tell you, this person has a body part. When you asked about whether or not it was injured, he'd be like, yeah, that guy's got a foot. He's got a foot.
Okay, so yeah, just like, I like that.
I like he's got a, and just leave it blank, right? He's got a fill in the blank.
And then body part.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's perfect. Tanny, can you play .com for Rami just so he can hear it? This is Dave Wanstead reading a promo for Russ Matera, our production guy, Rami. It's the greatest thing ever.
.com. Dot. Do I have to say .com dot?
They have another dot on there?
I might just say .com, huh? Or is this .com dot?
Yeah, no.
I think I should say, or...
I think they just got a period
yeah,
on there.
Okay, okay.
So it's, yeah, just .com is fine.
Coach Wanstead here.
So he thought the period at the end of the sentence was another dot in his script?
Correct. It's my favorite thing that's ever happened at this
dot
stadium.
Com dot.
It's my single favorite thing that's ever happened. And people say, oh, you should get out more. You should experience life. There's better things than that. There are not.
No, that's about as good as it gets right there. That is amazing.
It is truly incredible.
Dot.
Dot com.
Eye test.
Eye test is a good one. Can we put
eye test? Eye test is good. That's a good one.
Eye test.
Yeah. Boy Wonder's on there. Tony Wise is on there. He's Got a Knee is on there. You guys are saying things that we are. I mean, Ricky Williams is solid. He talks about Ricky Williams almost as much as Shady McCoy. Run Ricky up the middle, man. That's my favorite Dave Wanstead story. Is He'll Be Fine on there? Is He'll Be Fine on the list?
I didn't hear Shane say that, no.
It's not. Does he say that often enough?
I'm not sure.
Well, not now sure. He's become self-aware of that. Like, you'll hear him say, oh, Danny, you'll be fine.
All right.
I like it.
Because people, he always talks about flying to California. Yeah, so that's Fox. Like, he always talks about Fox. And he always talks about Jimmy. I mean, we could put Terry in there. He mentions Terry Bradshaw a lot. But I feel like Jimmy and Fox already have that covered. But, all right. We're gonna do this, but we are gonna unveil on Twitter before 5 o'clock the full Wani Bingo board. But for now, 312-644-6767, text, Twitch, or call your toughest either or for week 6 fantasy football either or with Paul Charchian next on The Score.